Well, I started out the day with a bunch of snow on the ground and broken tree branches all over the place and laying on the roof of my garage and shed and all kinds of stuff. And as the day went on, I just saw God's hand at work one time after another after another. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing to see God at work. His love, unbelievable. Oh, Father God. Well, on that happy note, I'll tell you what we want to talk about tonight a little bit. That's rebellion. So we went from all the good things that God did today to we're going to talk a little bit about rebellion tonight. And I'd ask you all, I've asked myself, to take a good look at myself. Do we have areas of rebellion in our life? And you say, well, I've been walking with the Lord for however many years. And yeah, there were some bumps along the way, but I'm really walking now. I'm not in rebellion. Is that true? Is that honestly true if we take a look at ourselves? I'm not saying we're all out doing terrible, miserable things, but stop and think about what rebellion really is. Because sometimes we have a rebellious attitude about something that we recognize. We know it. We just don't want to do anything about it. So we choose to ignore it or we give an excuse for it. You know, that's just the way I'm made. I can't help it. Sometimes we have an area of rebellion that we haven't recognized. It's there, but until somebody calls us out on it, we don't even know that we've got it. I didn't know I was like that. So you might say we're kind of blind to it. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, it says, "For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Iniquity and idolatry. "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." Did you know that rebel in one form or another, rebel and rebellion, shows up more than 130 times through the Bible? I started looking for reference stuff on the internet, and I found page after page after page of scriptures that talks about rebellion. It's crazy. And rebellion, if you stop and take a good look at what happened through scripture, happened an awful lot in the Bible. And guess what? It's still happening today. Rebellion is a sin against God. Rebellion is a sin against God. A rebellious spirit wants to be worshiped and obeyed. I'm going to do this because of who I am. It wants to make its own decisions without consulting God. That's when you start becoming rebellious. Is when you start making those decisions without consulting God. They might be big ones, they might be small ones. Do we have any places of rebellion that we think perhaps are small, or in our own wisdom we think is right without consulting God? You know, we just want to explain it away. It's not rebellion like in a bad way. It's rebellion against what's going on around me. It's rebellion. Rebellion can show up in many different ways. Sometimes it's in a mutiny against authority, whatever authority's in charge. We saw that over the last 2 years. Cities being burned, police stations and courthouses being invaded and burned down, people being murdered and raped, and the police are afraid to even go in there, and the National Guard won't go in because the mayor of the cities or the governor of the states think it's okay for them to get away with that. It's not okay. And I'm not saying that because of who's in political power now, because this isn't about being a Republican or a Democrat. It's about whether or not we're being obedient to God and consulting God, or we're choosing our own way, which is rebellion. It is rebellion. It can show up sometimes in little ways in our life that we don't even consider. Well, I'm just going to do that. It's going to be okay. I'm just going to do that. What is God saying? Sometimes it can come from our own ambition of what we're willing to do to get ahead. You see that so often with stars and athletes and especially politicians, but I've seen it also just with the average Joe on the street. They're just trying to get a little bit ahead of somebody else, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. Because I'm not as bad as that other guy, so that kind of excuses what I'm doing, makes it okay. Because in the end, it's going to be all right. I'm going to come out ahead on the deal. Disobedience is a form of rebellion. It comes from the Latin word obedientum, which means obedience. When we put dis in front of it, it becomes disobedience, which breaks down to dis, which is to do the opposite of obedience. We're doing the opposite of what God wants. We are being disobedient. We can look at, God says rebellion must and will be punished. We can look at various ones that are mentioned in the Bible. I'll give you a few examples of some of the people that were deities, that were so-called deities, that were rebellious, starting with Satan. He and one-third of the angels were cast out of heaven for being rebellious. Some reward, huh? For wanting your own way. No longer wanting to be the assistant to God, he wanted to be God. How about Adam and Eve? That's an easy one. It was all Eve's fault, right? No. No, it wasn't. Because they were both disobedient. They both know the truth of what they were supposed to do, and they both chose to do something else. Eve started it, but Adam went along with it. He went, we'll go that way with it. How's that sound? Okay, John? All right. But we've all lived from the consequences of what Adam and Eve did, haven't we? All that started with one little fruit and some girl with a nice smile. I'm telling you, the things that we can get into and pay for a long time to come. Okay, don't beat me up. David's rebellion, how about that? He chose lust over Bathsheba. Here's a guy that went out and slayed a giant with a slingshot, when all the mighty men of God were standing there with their armor and weapons and wouldn't do it. Here's somebody that was saved time and time again as he ran and hid in caves and all kinds of stuff. God did so much for him. God blessed him and covered him in so many ways. And he still chose to be disobedient because he wanted what he wanted. That girl over there on the roof taking a bath looks pretty good. All of a sudden, he's forgetting all about God. And look what it led to. It led to Bathsheba's husband being murdered. So infidelity, murder, and look what it did with their son, Absalom. He chose rebellion and manipulation, which led to an early death for him. And a lot of damage in the kingdom because of it. How about Solomon? Here's a guy that had it all. Nobody has ever had more than Solomon. He's the richest guy in the world. He's got power. He's got all the ladies he wants. I mean, he's got whatever. He's got it all. And yet he reached a place in his life where he started to get a little cocky about it. You know how a little bit of leaven can leaven the bread? He's just started getting a little bit more overconfident. I've been successful with everything I did. At first, he started out really seeking God, and then he started to drift. And then he drifted a little farther, and he drifted a little farther. And all of a sudden, God was over here, and Solomon was over here. Ever have that happen in your own life? He reached in a place in his life where he was no longer willing to receive advice from his trusted advisors. He wouldn't take advice from his wife. He didn't want to hear it from anybody. And here's a guy that had it all, and it cost him dearly. Cost him dearly. But what about us? Do we have areas in our own life that we should consider? And I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying, are there some places where a little bit of an adjustment can make a radical change in our life? Are there things that we have started to overlook because we get caught up in the stuff of life? Well, I don't need to talk to God about everything. I know that I need to do this or I need to do that. But maybe God's saying there's a way for you to do this or that. We start to drift a little bit. We'll talk to God when it's necessary. And it isn't always necessary. Or is it? For example, we should only be against leaders at any level, whether it's the government, the church, or whatever else you want to use, when they're going against God. Only when they're going against God. Otherwise, the Word of God says that we're to submit to our leaders. And sometimes that's a tough one to swallow. Because I haven't always liked who the leaders were. And I won't get specific, but I'll just say, there's been times when I haven't been real happy with who the leaders were. But we're supposed to pray for them and submit unless what they're doing goes against the Word of God. And we've had some leaders that have gone against the Word of God. The Bible addresses it this way in Romans 13, verses 1 to 5. Romans 13, 1 to 5, it tells us how we're to respond to civil government. I'm not going to read all the scripture right now for the sake of time. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3, tells us about obeying our parents. So the Bible addresses every one of these situations. How should we respond to the parents? How about 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2? That talks about husbands and wife relationships. And 1 Peter 2, verses 18 to 21, it talks about our attitude towards our employers. I've worked for some people that were some real stinkers, I got to tell you. Okay, time for more pizza, right? How about Hebrews 13, verse 17? Hebrews 13, verse 17. That speaks about church leaders. How should you respond to church leaders? Think about it. And there have been some church leaders that have been very much in error, and you shouldn't follow those ones. But if you believe that you're following a leader that's honestly pursuing God, and the church leader says, this is what we need to do it. Otherwise, if you're not doing that, you're either being in rebellion against him because you don't believe he's hearing from God, or else you're being in rebellion to God because you don't like the direction that God's telling him to go and you don't want to go there. Either way, that's not a healthy place to be. So Hebrews 13, verse 17, that's about church leaders. How are we supposed to do that? That doesn't mean you put any of these people that I'm talking about on pedestals. That's not what I'm talking about. The word specifically talks about not making idols. But there's a biblical way to respond to each of these, whether we're talking about civil life, the church life, or home life. When we don't follow God's direction, we're not just dealing with people or situations. We are sinning against God. Take a little tour through the Old Testament and see what happened every time they started sinning against God. I don't think we want to be in some of those situations. You're being rebellious when you would rather give other orders than receive them. You would rather make your own rules. You know people like that? I don't have to do what they tell me. I'll do it my way. That's being rebellious. How about when you pout or you do the opposite of what you're told to do? I didn't get it my way, so I'm going to pout and I'll go somewhere else where they'll listen to me. You know what? You can go somewhere else. But you're not being rebellious to the people here. You're being rebellious to God. How about when you want to be the one to stand out, whether it's wanting to be a star, you want to be the go-to person, hey, look at me, or even you're one of those people that says, I prefer bad attention to no attention at all. Those are all wrong attitudes. That's not God. Because it's about self. It's not being obedient to God. it is wrong to ask for forgiveness rather than permission in order to get your own way. How many times have we heard that where somebody said, well, I'll just go ahead and do it, and then I'll ask for forgiveness instead of asking for permission right up front? It's because you don't want to take a chance on the being told that, no, you shouldn't do that. I'm just going to do it. That's being disobedient. It's about getting my own way, not about going God's way. A lot of these are little things that people make decisions and do these things during the day without thinking twice about it, but it is rebellion. How about if you think that rules were made to be broken and that it's okay to be obstinate? How many times have I heard or seen somebody smile and they go, well, rules were made to be broken? Not true. How about if you are unwilling to bow to authority or be restrained in any way? What do you mean, I can only do this, but I can't do that? Who do you think you are to tell me that? And we've certainly seen people that don't want to bow to authority. We've had people at high levels of our own government that'll bail people out of jail that are breaking the law. Are you kidding me? That's being disobedient to the law. It's being disobedient to God. There was a time when we respected people that were in certain positions. Didn't mean you always liked them, but you respected the position. I remember when they used to teach you, you respect the office, but you don't necessarily have to agree with the person that's in it. So you respected a police officer even if you didn't always like him, or a fireman, or whoever was in power, the president or the governor or whoever. Didn't mean you always liked them, but you respected for them. You respected them and you prayed for their office. How about if you use the excuse, I am the way I am. I've been that way all my life. God made me that way, so that's just the way it is. That's not true. That's being rebellious to God. Because if you stop and think about it, the Word said we were made in God's likeness. The problem is, by the time we got out of the birth canal and got grown, God came into this world, we're starting to pick up some of the sins of the fathers and those that came about before us. And then we picked up some of the sins of the people we hung out with, and then sometimes we chose our own. But then when we received Jesus Christ, we were supposed to die to all that. So if that's dead, if you say, you can't hold that against me anymore because that's dead, then how about this other thing that you're hanging on to? That's supposed to be dead too. If you got lust or flirty or you're into drinking or drugs or whatever, the old was supposed to die and be replaced with Christ. At least that's what I read in the Word. That's my understanding. Submitting to God and those that He has put in authority will set you free. It's not binding, it will set you free. It truly will. How about Psalm 68, verse 6? Psalm 68, verse 6. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a parched land. Rebellion isn't just an outward behavior. It's an attitude, and it's a problem that has a heart issue. When you're rebellious, you're having a heart issue. Because my heart's about me. It's not about God. It's about God when it's convenient, but then there are times when, you know, after all, this is me we're talking about. Rebellion resists authority. I mentioned that earlier. Whether it's your church leader, whether it's the police, whether it's a fireman to stay out of the way so that we can fight this fire. Whether it's rebellion of children not being obedient to their parents or their grandparents. We resist authority. The Bible says it's likened to witchcraft, which I've read earlier in the beginning. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. It's comparing it to witchcraft. That's pretty bad. And the Bible also says that it makes us unprofitable. That's Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. We're unprofitable. That means we're of no value. Because we're doing more harm than good, because it's all about me and not about he. And the Bible says that it brings judgment upon us. It brings judgment upon us when we're rebellious. That's Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. When we rebel against God, there can and there will be judgment. We need to have a repentant heart. We need to embrace authority, and we need to lean on God's truth. And we need to equip ourselves with prayer. Because it's His Word, it's the time we spend in prayer and with God's people that helps to keep us straight. When we start doing it our own way, I remember when the song was famous, you know, I did it my way, ta-da. Well, there's a lot of people right now that are doing it their way. And this country is a wreck. I wouldn't even call it a train wreck, because I think a train wreck would look better than what this is looking like right now. Again, it's not about which party's in. It's about people that have cast the law aside. They've cast respect for not only authority, but we don't even respect one another. Somebody accidentally bumps somebody else, and they knock somebody's cell phone out of the hand, so the other person gets mad and pushes them into the subway, and they die. Are you kidding me? Over accidentally bumping somebody who dropped their cell phone? Somebody else didn't like what somebody did when they were walking in their way on the sidewalk. So this guy stabs a woman. We're going the ways of hell, not the ways of heaven. We don't respect one another. If we can't respect the people that we do see, how can we say that we respect God that we don't see? Think about it. We're showing what our hearts are really like. And do you understand that we will not get away with that? Payday's coming. Some people are rebellious, but they show it in another way. These are the little slick willies. They smile, they play up to somebody, and they try to get their way. That's deceit. That's manipulation. And it is not the will of God. God does not smile to your face and then stab you in the back. That's Lucifer. That's not God. But the Word of God warns us. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Unfortunately, when elections are going on, we hear a lot of empty words, don't we? But it isn't just that. There are empty words going on between people, whether there's elections or not. Just us folks talking to each other. Sometimes there are people that are just full of empty words. And quite frankly, they become meaningless. They don't represent the love of God. It's easier to walk past somebody and say, have a nice day, and smile and keep moving than it is to stop and say, how you doing? And if they actually have something they need a prayer about or whatever, to actually take the time to do that. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine. And who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they might add sin to sin. Who's making the plans, God or the individual? And God says it's not of my spirit. What's the only other spirits that are out there? Darkness, deceit, evil. We need to evaluate the way we carry ourselves. We need to evaluate how we represent God. We talk about, oh, we love everybody, and we talk about, oh, this and oh, that. And then people sit around and they gossip, or they do this or they do that, so they can get in a position. Oh, this person got into, I'll use as an example, the church board, or they got into that, or they got into some other thing. Okay, and I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying those for examples. Instead of manipulating our way to get here or there so we can get attention, why don't we just try to get God's attention and try to see and hear what he has to say, what he wants us to do, and then respond accordingly, even when it's uncomfortable. And sometimes it is. We also need to keep in mind 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:4. For God did not spare angels when they sinned. For God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment. If God didn't put up with the baloney from the angels, what makes you think he's going to put up with the baloney from you or me? Really? God takes rebellion very seriously. I'll tell you how serious it is. It can be life and death. How's that for being serious? God takes that. We need to take a look at how many times we go and pray and ask God, what do you think about this? And how many times we just do what we want. I've done it myself, so I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else. Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? This country is so used to freedom and independent thinking, we don't have the understanding of that sentence that they would if you lived in, say, France or England or someplace like that, where they were used to having kings and lords. And when the Lord said something, if he said, you taste my food before I eat it to make sure it's not poison, you did it. And if you died, you died. We don't understand lordship here. We truly don't. But how do we call him Lord when I'm going to do what? Is he really Lord of my life if I'm doing what I want to do? And I'm not even saying I'm going out and doing all these nasty things. But if I'm just being disobedient to God, can I really call him Lord? We need to pause and just check out what we're doing. We need to check out how we think, and we need to check our motivations for what we do. That's all. And trying to get our own way, whether in government, in relationships with each other, in things that are going on in our church, that's sin when we try to get our own way. We need to make sure that we line up with the will of God and not our own will. Amen? Again, this is not a word of condemnation. This is a word that just says, I think God's saying to each of us, as he's given these kind of words out, my time is coming closer and closer. And the closer I get there, the less you're going to get away with. We need to just kind of check ourselves out. And it's a lot easier. I'll tell you, when something starts to go bad, say like in your car or whatever, it's easier to fix it when it's a little problem than it is to just turn up the radio and keep going. Because at some point in time, now it's going to be a major problem. And that can happen in our own lives. It's easier to check ourselves out now and say, Lord, what can I do to walk a little more uprightly according to your purpose and plan for my life and for those that are around me? It's easier to do that now than for us to really have to get worked on later. So I would just ask that you pray and take an honest look at yourself. I'm doing it. I know there's areas that still need tweaked. Pretty soon my wife will be as tweaked as much as I am, but she's working on it. But seriously, again, this is not a word of condemnation. This is, as God is getting closer, he's going to be calling us into other things. And it's like walking into the Holy of Holies. Let me end just by comparing this. It's like walking into the Holy of Holies. You think that you've cleaned up when you get into the outer court. Then when you get ready to go to the inner court, the lights are brighter. And you start to see some places that maybe aren't as clean as you thought they were. And you try to clean that up a little more, and then you start to walk a little closer. And the lights get brighter as you get closer to the Lord. And pretty soon some more spots. So we need to check every spot and every wrinkle. It's a continuous improvement project. But as we do that, we get blessed. We get blessed. Because when we honor the Lord, when we're obedient to him, when we're not disrespectful to him and those that serve him, then God can bless us in ways that we can't get because of our disobedience. Father God, I would just ask that that we just take an honest look at ourselves, that we seek your face in a fresh new way. Maybe put a little brighter light bulb in next to the mirror so we can get a little better look. We know that if we're not careful and don't walk according to your will, we're going to blow it. That's why we need you. Every one of us sins and falls short. But Father God, we can't use that as an excuse. That's an understanding, but it's not an excuse. Because you've given us the Holy Spirit. You've empowered us. And we need to come to you, Lord, and seek your healing. Seek the change that we need, even when it's uncomfortable. And just thank you that you love us enough that you would rather correct us now than have to deal with us in a much significant way later on. Thank you for loving us that much. So Lord, help us just to love you and show you our love by honestly just kind of checking ourselves out, that we might walk a little more circumspectly than we did the day before. And we just thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.